Praise our God. I think we all remember that time before it was well with our souls, that restlessness and all that great need, and oh wow, I remember, yes, as a young girl, just struggling at times, and oh wow, just everything would shake on the bed, and I just had this fear all around me, and oh my, there were a lot of things I feared. But I'll tell you what, when the Lord came into my life and filled me with the Holy Ghost, all of that left, every single bit of it. Praise the Lord. Those fears that I had, oh, I didn't like to go down to the basement before that time. It was spooky down there. But I'll tell you what, Jesus came into my life and everything changed. Praise our God. Amen. And that's how it needs to be. Oh, our Lord makes everything well with our souls. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you here tonight. Oh, God, we praise you, Lord. So great and wonderful salvation that you've given us, Lord. Such joy that you've given us, Lord. And oh, such a privilege to serve you, Lord. Oh, God, thank you that you came nigh unto us. Oh, God, that you opened up our hearts so that we might, oh, realize our great need to repent and turn to you, Jesus. Oh, God, we could have never have done it except that you drew us unto yourself. We thank you, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that you give us what we have need of, Lord. Oh, God, as we walk this earth, oh, God, as pilgrims and strangers, needing you, Lord, needing a touch from you, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that you would move tonight. Oh, God, that you'd set people free, that you'd deliver, Lord, that you bring forth the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray, oh, God, that you tug at our hearts, Lord. And, oh, God, cause that sinner to come to you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We need you, Lord. I pray that you'd work here tonight. Oh, God, I could do nothing without you. I pray that you'd use this message. God, that you'd give me words. Oh, God, that you'd help me to bring it forth, Lord. And oh, God, that you'd use it for thy kingdom. Oh, for thy name's sake, Lord. And help those that are struggling, Lord. Help those that need to be saved and healed and delivered. Oh, God, tonight that you would do a work, I pray. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, Lord. Oh, God, help your people, Lord. Oh, God, help those that are struggling, that are fighting. Oh, God. Oh, God, help Judy tonight, Lord. Give her strength. Give her hope, Lord. Give her faith, Lord Jesus. Pray that you work mightily, Lord. Oh, God, help Doug, Lord, to believe you, Lord, to grasp thy promises, Lord. And, oh, God, to go forward, Lord. And likewise, God, you know all things. God, give hope to your people, Lord, and move in life. So, God, make a way, Lord. Make a way for Wild's mother. Praise the Lord. I pray that you'd help her, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd move in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name, oh, God. Oh, you know our great needs, and I pray that you'd work in a mighty way here tonight, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Amen. Praise our God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, we live in a world that is very shaky right now. And, oh my, I know it's kind of like the second round of the COVID-19, seems like. And, oh, it's a time of masks, it seems like. Often they're required. And, oh my, it's not fun by any means. And, I still resist that terribly. But, oh my, there's so many things going on. And, yeah, today I found about the great protest in Portland, Oregon, and what's going on there. And, oh, yes, walls of moms that are protesting in their yellow shirts. And, oh, yes, the yellow broken crosses that they're carrying, the so-called peace symbol, and, sunflowers and all of that. And, yes, I understand that the feds were now sent in, and, oh, my. Yesterday, there were 2,000 protesters in Portland, Oregon, from what I heard. And how am I? Not good. But praise the Lord, our God is greater than every need and every event. Praise the Lord, we can pray. We can bring down strongholds through prayer. Praise the Lord. I had some prayer today. Yes, Brother Tim and I had some prayer too today. And oh my, there are some strongholds that the Lord only can bring down. Oh yes, but we serve the mighty God. And what a privilege it is in the midst of all this shaking that we can be in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's the title of my message tonight. A kingdom which cannot be moved. And that's such a wonderful thing. You know, everything changes in this world. Like I said, everything is shaky. But you know, oh my, things can be one way one moment and completely opposite the next. And we don't know. You can wake up and, you know, it's a beautiful day. And before it's over, oh my, God only knows what may have happened. But praise the Lord, there is one who does not change. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, He is constant. And He is always there. He's always there for us to reach out. He is that friend that we can reach out to. And there is none like unto Him. Praise the Lord. And thank the Lord for such a wonderful source of stability in this world that is so shaky and so changeable and, oh my, so ugly at times. Oh, things that we're seeing, how it has changed this year, how things that we never wanted to see have become a reality right in our midst. But praise the Lord, God is the same. And praise the Lord, He brought forth a kingdom which cannot be moved. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's begin by going to Matthew, the 16th chapter here. Very familiar portion of Scripture, but praise the Lord. Oh, I love it. Amen. Praise our God. Looking at verse 13 here in Matthew chapter 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Praise the Lord. Then charged He His disciples that they should tell no man that He was Jesus the Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh my, no, that revelation comes by God. Oh yes, and yes, Jesus rightly said to Simon Peter, when Simon acknowledged Him as the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus told him that it was not flesh and blood that had revealed it unto him, but it was revealed to him from His Father which was in heaven. And praise the Lord, that 18th verse where it says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Well, I tell you what, the rock that the church is built on is the revelation that Jesus Christ is indeed the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God. That is the foundation of the Church of the Living God. And Jesus said, except that you believe that I am He, ye shall likewise die in your sins. Oh, it's absolutely essential if we're going to come to God that we come through Jesus Christ. And it's the foundation is, no matter if you're Jew or if you're Greek, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the Living God. And yes, on that hangs the kingdom of God. That is the foundation. That is the rock that the Church of the Living God is built upon. And how I love that 18th verse. Oh yes, Jesus telling Peter, thou art Peter, small stone in other words, but upon this rock, oh, that wonderful acknowledgement that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the Living God. Upon that premise, upon that rock, Jesus would build His church. And how it says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, praise the Lord, there's nothing that can destroy this church. Oh, yes, the Church of the Living God. Oh, yes, everything here on this earth shakes. And only those things that cannot be shaken will end up being shaken. But praise the Lord, there is a Church of the Living God. And oh, yes, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Praise the Lord. Let's go now to Daniel, the second chapter. Praise the Lord. And of course, this second chapter involves the dream that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had. And of course, he needed somebody to bring it to his mind and to interpret it. And, you know, that seemed like an impossibility, but Daniel was able to do it. Oh, yes, because Daniel had faith in God, and God showed the vision to Daniel, and he was able to tell Nebuchadnezzar what he had seen. Praise the Lord. And here, if we go to the 31st verse here in Daniel chapter 2, we're going to read of this vision that King Nebuchadnezzar saw. And here's the description as Daniel is telling it to the king of Babylon. Praise the Lord. Verse 31. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, that stone that smote the image. And yes, oh, from there it became a great mountain and it filled the whole earth. Oh, what a wonder that is. Oh, yes. You know, it just kind of sounds like a parable that Jesus told in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, when he talked about the kingdom of heaven and likened it unto a little grain of a mustard seed. Oh, yes, just a tiny seed, the smallest, the least of all seeds. But yet, oh, yes, he talks about the sower taking that mustard seed and sowing it. And when it was grown, oh, yes, in spite of its very small, seemingly insignificant size at the first, became the greatest of the herbs. It became a tree, and oh yes, the birds of the air came and lodged in the branches thereof. Oh yes, but here, oh, we have this story of, yes, a stone that smote this image that seemed so brilliant and so excellent. The form thereof that was terrible, but oh yes, yet there was a stone. Oh yes, that came forth, a stone that was cut out without hands. And oh yes, it came, and it smote that image that seemed so magnificent. And instead that stone became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Oh yes, Daniel continued as he is telling this all to Nebuchadnezzar. This is a dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Verse 37 says, Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. Of course, you know, what a plan here. God is using this to, you know, go to bring forth what is ultimately going to happen here. First of all, that head of gold was King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire. And then, yes, it's foretelling here in 39, verse 39, that another kingdom would arise. It would be inferior. And, you know, that would be likened unto the kingdom that was the silver part of that image. And, yes, that would, oh, yes, be likened unto the Persian kingdom that would come forth after that. And then, oh yes, we have another kingdom, a third kingdom of brass that would come forth. The empire of the Greeks that would come forth and rule over the earth. And then verse 40 tells of the fourth kingdom that shall be as strong as iron. And here we're hearing of the Roman Empire that would come forth. And it tells us, as that 40th verse continues, For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. But oh my, there's more to it. Verse 41 says, And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And we do know that 10 Germanic tribes overthrew the Roman Empire and brought it down eventually. And here we have that description, that as the toes of this image. But it goes on to say that it would be partly strong and partly broken. And it goes on to say, And whereas, here verse 33, thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And I do believe we can go on to say that this description also seems to be talking about a composite of kingdoms. And I would think that there would be a relationship to this present time when we talk about these feet of this image, and yes, how they do not cleave one to another. They're kind of like united, but yet divided, and there's not a strength, therefore. And of course, how could iron mixed with clay be strong anyway? Oh my, we can see this image is very heavy at the top and very weak at the bottom. And how could it ever stand? And thank the Lord, yes, the kingdoms of this world are all going to fall. Oh yes, and they have fallen. These that we just read of, oh yes, these four that we read of have already fallen. But praise the Lord, there was a time that God Almighty intervened. And let's read verse 44 here. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Verse 45 says, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That verse 44 is so amazing, because it tells us that in the days of those kingdoms, and I believe the reference is to the Roman Empire, that the God of heaven would set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And his kingdom would not be left to other people, but instead, he describes it as breaking in pieces and consuming all these kingdoms. And yes, a kingdom that would stand forever. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. And how I love that. You know, we think how it was there, Jesus, when he was standing there before Pilate, there in the 18th chapter of the book of John. And, you know, Pilate didn't know what to think. The Jews had brought Jesus before him. They were the ones that were condemning him. And here's Pilate. This is very strange. Doesn't seem like there's any cause against this just man, Jesus. And so he asked in verse 33 here in John chapter 18. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Verse 34, Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? You can imagine how confusing this was to Pilate. Oh my, to see this man. And you know, happily, Pilate was truly convinced that there was no wrongdoing in Jesus Christ. But here he has been brought before him. His own nation has delivered him. And oh, the big question, what hast thou done? Jesus answered in verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews? But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And of course, Pilate asked another question then in verse 38. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Oh, praise the Lord. But yes, Jesus clearly stated it. Oh, yes, he was the king. Oh, yes, indeed, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But at that time, they couldn't tell that. Oh, yes, he wasn't putting on airs as king. He didn't have a royal crown or the garment of a king. But, oh, my, here he clearly revealed that his kingdom was not of this world. No, yes, Jesus was a king, but he was not a king of this world at that point. Oh, no, he said, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. No, Jesus was bringing forth a spiritual kingdom. But what a wonder it is, because, oh yes, kingdoms have come and gone. And yes, the second chapter of the book of Daniel, oh, makes it known that, oh, they are all going to be destroyed. They are all going to be consumed. And praise the Lord, there is a stone. Oh yes, it was cut out without hands that comes forth, and it breaks in pieces all these kingdoms of men. Praise the Lord. Every single trace of it, every single portion of it, every aspect is consumed, is destroyed by that stone that is cut out of the mountain without hands. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, this is referring to the kingdom of our God, his kingdom, which is a spiritual kingdom, as he told Pilate. It is a kingdom which cannot be moved. And praise the Lord, yes, as verse 44 tells us again, oh, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the glorious plan of God. Oh, yes. God would robe himself in flesh and come to this world. Oh, yes. Unknown as a lowly Jesus, as we sang tonight. But oh my, how great it was. Because oh yes, though he came as a servant, as he came as a minister to give his life a ransom for his people, oh, he was doing a marvelous thing there when he was on the cross. He was taking our sins upon himself. Oh, yes, he was bringing forth life, everlasting life, so that we as mortals could be redeemed. We as mortals could have hope beyond this earthen vessel that we now wear. Oh, yes, we could have hope in a kingdom that shall never be moved. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. And yes, there on the cross, Jesus was bringing forth that glorious church that doesn't have spot or doesn't have wrinkle or any such thing. That glorious church that is holy and without blemish. And praise the Lord, as it tells us in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, he's going to present that church unto himself. Praise the Lord, that is what our Savior was doing on the cross. He was redeeming a people. Yes, he was bringing forth a church, a body of believers. Oh, the church of the living God, the ecclesia. Oh, yes, that he would bring forth and present to himself as a glorious church. Oh, yes, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Praise the Lord, He was sanctifying it and cleansing it by the washing of water by the Word. Oh, praise the Lord, He was giving His life a ransom for that church. Oh, yes, when He died on the cross. What a wonder it is. Oh, how our God brought it forth. But oh, yes, He was that stone that was cut out of the mountain. And yes, Jesus, as He began to teach, as He began to preach, oh, even though He was unknown, even though so many didn't realize who He was, He was beginning to establish His kingdom. Oh, praise the Lord, that would not be an earthly kingdom that they would fight for, no, but it would be a kingdom that would come forth out of the heart. Oh, yes, the hearts of His believers who would be redeemed. Oh, yes, and then therefore presented unto God as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Praise the Lord, that's what He was doing on the cross, bringing forth a people. Praise the Lord, bringing forth a church. And praise the Lord, if we just turn for a moment to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. Oh, yes, it tells us in verse 10 here in Revelation 12. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Oh, praise the Lord, the wonderful things that happened at Calvary. Yes, as Jesus, oh yes, gave up the ghost. But praise the Lord, He was redeeming a people. He was taking our sins upon Himself. He was redeeming us. And yes, the accuser of the brethren was cast down, no longer having access unto heaven. And praise the Lord, oh, those that are His. Verse 11 here in Revelation 12 tells us, and they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that glorious kingdom of the Lord. Oh, that He brought forth at Calvary. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. Let's go now to another portion of Scripture in the Old Testament. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah 28. And I do love this chapter, but we're not going to read the whole chapter. Praise the Lord. We are going to start here with verse 14 tonight. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 14. Praise the Lord. It tells us here, verse 14. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. So this is who is initially being addressed here. People with attitudes, people with hearts that oppose God. It says in verse 15, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Oh my, doesn't this seem ridiculous? But oh yes, I believe it's even unto this day. Oh, I believe there are many that have literally made a covenant with death and have an agreement with hell. And yes, you know, they have declared, and so many people have offed hell. So many people don't want to believe in a burning lake of fire. So many people have made this agreement and put it in their hearts that, oh my, it's not going to affect me. I'm not going to go there. There's no such thing. I don't believe in that. That's nonsense. Oh, so many have made this agreement. Oh, yes, with hell. and this covenant with death. Oh, that's not going to be me. Oh, no, because, you know, we've got another premise. We have made lies our refuge. Oh, yes, all these fairy tales that, you know, we have brought forth and presented to the masses. And, oh, yes, that's our refuge. That's our foundation. That's our little sanctuary. And under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Oh my, you think that's going to stand? Oh, that kind of foundation? Oh, when it's based upon lies, things that are not true? Oh, things that are not going to stand? But oh my, oh praise the Lord, there is a foundation that will stand. Verse 16 tells us, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, here's something that is real. Oh, yes, that stone that the builders rejected that has become, oh, yes, the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. Oh, praise our God. Oh, yes, it was laid in Zion. Oh, that holy hill of Zion, that heavenly place where our God resides. Oh, yes, He came to earth to bring forth that foundation. And, oh, this description, it's a stone. It's a tried stone. It's a precious cornerstone. It is a sure foundation. And praise the Lord, he that believeth shall not make haste. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. If our foundation is based on Jesus Christ, on the truth of God's Word, then, oh my, we're not going to have to make haste. Oh, there's not going to be any worries. There's not going to be that moment when, oh my, well, we try to, you know, find refuge in something that is not sure, something that is based on pretense, that is based on hypocrisy, that is based upon lies. Oh, that's the way it is. If your foundation isn't in Christ Jesus, if it isn't laid upon the chief cornerstone, then you're building your house upon the sand. Oh, yes, there's that story that Jesus Christ told, that parable that he told. Oh, that great need. Oh, yes. For those that hear his sayings and do them. Oh, yes, he likened that kind of individual unto a man that built his house upon a rock. Oh, yes, a solid rock that could not be moved. Oh, no, when the storms of life begin to hit, when the rains begin to fall, when the winds begin to blow, oh, it wasn't hindered. That house wasn't hindered because it was found upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, that is the only foundation that is going to stand, because otherwise, Jesus likened the others unto that foolish man, oh yes, that tried to build his house upon the sand. No solid foundation there at all. And oh yes, the rain did descend, and the floods did come, and the winds did blow, and oh yes, those winds beat upon that house. And yes, because it was founded upon the sands, and not upon the rock it fell. And the scripture says in Matthew 7, great was the fall of it. Oh yes, how important it is to build our house, our dwelling place, our lives on the rock Christ Jesus, upon his sayings. And not only his sayings, but doing them. Oh yes. That is what is essential. That is what is necessary. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, as we read here in Isaiah, that foundation that is laid. Oh, there is no other foundation that can be laid than that which is laid. Yeah, this is it. There is no other source. There is no other solid rock. There is no other stone or tried stone, precious cornerstone or sure foundation. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he that believeth, it tells us here in verse 16 here in Isaiah 28, shall not make haste. Oh, no, not going to have to go run and find another place of refuge or try to attempt. Oh, yeah, go to the hills and try to find a place to hide when God's wrath is poured out. Oh, no, we don't want to be in that shape. Oh, we want to build our lives upon the rock Christ Jesus and make sure that there is no other foundation that we are attempting to build upon, only upon the true Word of God, the truth of God's Word, what has been declared in the Scripture. Praise our God. Verse 17 tells us here in Isaiah 28, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. Oh, it's all going to go. But you know, he said, judgment also will I lay to the line, righteousness to the plummet. Oh, yes, that's a tool that is used, oh, yes, to find an accurate place to build upon, if that would be the case. Or, you know, a tool that is used, yes, even a plumb bob to, you know, find the base, you know, a level place so that you can, you know, have some solidity after that. But I believe what he's saying is there is exactness to the Lord's judgment. There is exactness to his righteousness. It's not built upon lies. It's not built upon ifs. It's not built upon something that's probable or possible. No, it's built upon the sure foundation. It's solid. It's not changing. It's not going anywhere. It's not going to be moved. Praise the Lord. That's, yes, what God's foundation consists of. Praise the Lord. And all that is not based on his foundation, oh, it shall be swept away. The hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And he went on to say in verse 18, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled. Oh, yes, it shall be totally canceled and nullified and brought down. It will not be valid. You can't build upon any other foundation. There is no other foundation than that which is laid, and that is Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Yes, your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand, with the overflowing scourge shall pass through. Then ye shall be trodden down by it. Oh my, we must build our house upon the rock. And it goes on to describe, oh, quite an event here in verse 19. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning till it pass over, by day and by night, it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. And to me that sort of seems like the times that we're in right now, when, oh yes, there's no good news. Everything is a vexation. Everything is trouble and confusion in this world for the most part. And you know, at least that is generally what you hear in the news or from the media, on the television, all of that. But oh, you know, that's not a good report. And all, just only to understand the report, it's vexing one thing after the other, and oh my, changing, and you know, nothing good, nothing solid to stand on. It says in verse 20, for the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in. oh my, there's no blessing in that. And there's no way to relax when, you know, the bed is too short and the cover is too narrow that you can't even wrap yourself. There's no way to relax. You know, everything is vexing, 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 trouble, trouble, trouble. But oh, thank the Lord for His Word. Thank You for the hope that we have in Jesus. Thank You for the solid rock. Thank You for the foundation that is laid. Oh yes, because oh my, we don't have to live. Oh yes, the others do. We don't have to abide by all the vexations of this world and the reports that go forth one from the other, morning by morning and night by night and day by night and all that. And you know, just all the trouble. Oh no, God gives us hope. Oh, we have an anchor. Oh yes, that we can hold to, that's going to keep us, that gives us faith, faith to stand, faith to move. Oh yes, oh, air to breathe. Oh yes, for the grace of our God. Oh yes, we can trust in our God. Oh, we can rest in His promises. We can know that they are sure. And oh yes, that we are in a kingdom that cannot be moved, regardless of all the trouble in this world and all the things that are going on that don't add up and don't make sense and cause great disturbance of mind. Oh, thank God for that anchor of our soul. And yes, verse 21 says, "The Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that He may do His work, His strange work, and bring to pass His act, His strange act." Oh my, I believe it was Mount Perazim where David fought Goliath. And the valley of Gibeon is, oh yes, a mighty miracle that was wrought by the hand of God in the days of Joshua, when he was greatly opposed. Oh yes, he had made a league with the Gibeonites, and other kings had risen against the Gibeonites. Nine of them: the king of Jerusalem, king of Hebron, the king of Eglon, Jarmuth, Lachish. Five Amorite kings had all risen against Gibeon, and because Gibeon had a league with Joshua, he asked the children of Israel for assistance. And I'll tell you what, Joshua went to God, and the Lord fought that battle. The Lord discomforted that enemy. The Lord slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them away. Oh yes, and God even cast down great hailstones from heaven, and more of them died of hailstones than those that were slain with a sword. And Joshua prayed. Oh, he prayed. Oh yes, as the battle was going, the Amorites and this mighty army that had come against him, he prayed for a little more time so that they could be completely defeated. He prayed by saying, "Sun, stand still, thou upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon." And you know what? God hearkened to the voice of a man. God hearkened to the voice of Joshua. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. And it tells us in the 10th chapter of Joshua, verse 14, "And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a wonder it is. And there's a reference to it here, this 21st verse here in the 28th chapter of Isaiah. And you know, the Lord rising up as in Mount Perazim and being wroth as He was in the valley of Gibeon and bringing forth His work, His strange work. Oh, the mighty works of God. Does He fight for His people? Is He going to fight for His people? I'll tell you what, if we want to just turn here to the 16th chapter of the book of Revelation. Oh my, I believe we're in the book of Revelation right now. things that we're seeing right now sure sound like the book of Revelation to me. Tells us here, Revelation 16, verse 16. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Oh, God pouring out his final judgment. God pouring out his wrath, that which he has held back on. But here it is, time of Armageddon. And oh my, here it is, voices, thunders, lightnings, a great earthquake. One like unto never before. Something that it was so mighty that you couldn't compare it. It was so great. Yes, and the great city was divided into three parts. The cities of the nations fell. Great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Verse 20 tells us, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And verse 21 says, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone above the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Oh, God coming on the scene. Oh, yes, judging this earth and this exceeding great plague. These hailstones that are so heavy, about the weight of a talent. And the reference tells me that a talent is either 100 pounds of silver or 200 pounds of gold. Very, very heavy, for sure. And oh my, God sending out his judgment in a way that has never been received before. And oh, men responding by blaspheming God because of the plague of a hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Oh yes, but here it is, you know, it's going to be over. God's judgment, you know, that sounding of the trumpet, all of that, God bringing forth the finality of this world. And oh yes, I believe that's the reference here in Isaiah 28, verse 21, when God may do his work, as in the valley of Gibeon, his strange work, and bring to pass this act, his strange act. Oh, yes, it says in verse 22, now therefore be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong, for I have heard from the Lord God of hosts, a consumption even determined upon the whole earth. Oh my, God's judgment is not pretty. It's not anything that we want to think about truly. It's certainly nothing that we want to experience. But praise the Lord knows how to help his people. Oh yes, and he has promised that he would be that help. Oh yes, to his church. Oh, yes, he would be there to save his people. Oh, yes, those that have been redeemed, those that he has purchased, those that are part of his glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Oh, praise the Lord coming, yes, to do his strange act. And oh, my, but how direly we need to be in Christ. How important it is that we have given our lives over to the Lord, that we have built our lives upon the solid rock, Christ Jesus, upon His saints, hearing them and doing them. Oh, that is the hope of our soul. But there is no hope otherwise. If you have made a covenant with death, and if you have made lies your refuge, and if you've hidden yourself under falsehood, under pretenses, under things that sounded good, things that tickled your ears, oh my, some premise of man, some ideology, some, remarkable thought, so it seemed. But was it based upon God's Word? Oh, was it based upon the foundation that the Lord God established? Oh my, it must be. Otherwise, all of this is going to be swept away. The waters are going to overflow it. Oh, yes, it's all going to be brought down. It's all going to be brought to nothingness. It's all going to be disannulled, completely canceled, nullified, made void. Oh, yes, that agreement with death shall not stand. That agreement with hell shall not stand. Praise the Lord. Oh, no, not unless we are anchored in the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, my, what a need there is. Oh, and what an opportunity we have right now to turn our lives over to the living God, to make changes right now while we have breath, while there's yet a little time to take heed. Oh, yes, to adjust our lives, to repent, to obey the gospel, be baptized in Jesus' name, and yes, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank God we still have moments of time to go forth and to believe God and to anchor our life on the rock, Christ Jesus. Thank the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the scripture talks about the stone that the builders disannulled. Oh, yes, he was rejected. He was scorned. So many did not listen to him. Oh, yes, so many laughed at what Jesus presented and mocked it. But, oh my, as he told us in Matthew, the 21st chapter, verse 42, Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Oh yes, God has caused all these things to come to pass. It's His timing. Oh yes, it's His way. God is in charge of the affairs of this world. He's going to see to it. Oh, yes, that which has been prophesied, that which He declared, is going to come to pass. And yes, the stone which the builders rejected, the stone which they refused, in other words, the same is become the head of the corner. And this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Oh, Jesus told those that were listening to Him as He gave forth this parable and yes, brought forth that saying here in Matthew 21, verse 42. He said in verse 43, therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Oh, what a warning here. We need to fall on the rock, Christ Jesus. We need to let that stone break us up. Oh, yes, it's going to bring us to repentance. It's going to humble us and bring us to that point where we must acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He is our Savior, and that we need Him, and that we must repent and turn our lives over to God. Oh, it's going to break us, that stone. But, oh my, we don't want it to fall on us. Because if it falls on us, it's going to grind us to powder. There's going to be nothing. You know, we're going to be consumed. We're going to be destroyed. We're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Oh, how we need, oh yes, to give heed and allow that stone, which the builders rejected, to become the chief cornerstone in our lives. Oh yes, the anchor of our lives, the foundation of our souls, that solid rock on which we stand. Praise the Lord. Oh, how we need to give heed to the glorious gospel. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews chapter 12. Praise the Lord. Here, going to the end of this chapter. Here it tells us in verse 25, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." And the comparison is made earlier to Mount Sinai. All the shaking that was going on as God was bringing forth the commandments, the first covenant. And oh my, was that a sight. It was such a great sight that they feared and they quaked. And oh yes, they didn't want God to talk to them. They said, "Moses, you go up there, you talk to God. Oh, you take charge, Moses. But it was such an awesome, fearful sight that, oh yes, they trembled, they feared, and oh, they were afraid exceedingly. But I'll tell you what, yes, it tells us, you know, it was one thing to refuse that first covenant. But even so, refusal meant that they, oh yes, would be punished. But it says, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Oh yes, Jesus Christ coming to this earth as the Son of God, as the Savior of the world, as the man Christ Jesus coming to save us. Oh yes, how can we refuse him when he came to buy us, when he came to redeem us, when he came to give us life, when he came to give us hope? How can we refuse him? Oh, it tells us, yes, we're not going to escape if we turn away from him, him that speaketh from heaven. Oh yes, the Lord Jesus. It says in verse 26, "whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." Yes, God's voice shook the earth there as the first covenant was given. Being given at that point. There was a shaking. There was a quaking. It was very pronounced. It was very clear. But oh my, now there's a declaration. "Once more, I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven." Oh, this moment, oh, that is coming forth. And this word, verse 27, "yet once more," signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Oh, praise the Lord, this shaking that's going to take place when our God descends from heaven, oh, with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, the trump of God sounds forth. Oh my, what is going to happen at that moment? In the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and all the works that are thereof shall be burnt up. All of this is going to come forth when, oh yes, Jesus Christ comes forth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and everything is going to be shaken. Nothing is going to remain except those things that are found in Jesus Christ. Those things that are established in him, everything else will be shaken. And yes, we are seeing a great shaking right now in this world. Oh yes, there are disturbances, there are distresses. Oh, there's all kinds of concerns and worries and fears. But oh, praise the Lord, our hope isn't in this earth. We know that Jesus Christ is going to come. We know that He's going to come and save us. We know that we are in a kingdom that cannot be moved. Oh, yes, if we have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, if we have been redeemed, if we have been sealed with His Holy Spirit of promise, praise the Lord, if we've come to Him and committed our lives unto Him, oh, praise the Lord, then, yes, we are in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Verse 28, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Oh yes, Hebrews 10:31 tells us it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And oh yes, He is coming. He is coming with vengeance. He is coming with power. He is coming with might. He is coming as King of kings and Lord of lords. And every eye is going to see Him. Oh yes, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth are going to wail because of Him. Oh, when He comes with His might, His majesty, with His power, oh yes, as He's never been seen before. Oh, there's going to be a lot of fear. There's going to be a lot of trembling. There's just going to be total shaking as all of this comes to pass, as our Lord Jesus comes back to this earth to judge this earth in righteousness. Oh my, what a moment that's going to be. But praise the Lord, if we're in the kingdom of God, if oh, we've given our life to the Lord, then oh yes, He has put us in His spiritual kingdom, that kingdom which cannot be moved. And praise the Lord, again, as it tells us in verse 28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it's going to mean everything. Oh, yes, to have our life wrought in Christ, to have committed our past, our sins, our lives unto God. Oh, it's going to mean everything that we could possibly muster. Oh, yes, to be wrought in Christ at such a moment. Oh, praise the Lord. It tells us in Revelation 11, as I close this message, verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. He is coming. He is coming. That seventh angel is going to sound, and oh, what a change it's going to be. Oh, yes, as this earth gives way to the new. And oh yes, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Only the things that are wrought in God will remain. And praise the Lord, oh, the great need to be in the kingdom of our God, that kingdom which cannot be moved. Oh yes, the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, He's going to come to judge this world in righteousness. And who shall be able to stand? Oh, the question that is asked. Who shall be able to stand? But praise the Lord. Oh, by His grace, His mercy, His compassion, oh, we can have our lives anchored into the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, we can be in His kingdom, which cannot be moved. And praise the Lord. Let's give heed to the words of God here. Let's give heed to the Scripture. Oh, yes. Let us serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Oh, yes, He is. But thank the Lord, we don't have to be recipients of His wrath. No, we can be recipients of His grace and mercy and participants in that everlasting kingdom that shall never be removed. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that is within our hearts. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that you would call us and, oh, make it possible that you died. You took our place, Lord. Oh God, that we could come unto thee, Lord, that we could know salvation. Oh God, that we could be rescued from this world. And oh God, all the trouble thereof. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We pray you. Praise you, Lord. We ask, oh Lord, that you would talk to every heart. Help us, oh Lord, to be fully submitted to thee, Lord, filled with thy Spirit, and all our lamps trimmed and burning, serving thee, oh Lord, oh God, with fear, oh yes, and oh reverence, Lord Jesus, oh God, acceptable in thy sight. Oh, help us, Lord, talk to every heart, Lord, move in every heart, oh Lord, change us and make us what we ought to be in thee, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. A kingdom which cannot be moved. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. Well, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the holy name, Lord. Jesus.
Praise the Lord. We're going to open our Melodies of Praise hymnal to number 195 and sing We Shall See the King, number 195. There's a blessed time that's coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. The wedding of the bride united with the groom. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Are you ready? Should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done, or go away? My home is cold and pure, the vile can never stay. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call? To crown your Savior, King and Lord of all. The kingdoms of this world shall soon before Him fall. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, have a good night. Be safe and God bless. Praise the Lord.